Good morning. Super, Simon a little late there, but all right, better late than never. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. I mean, everyone's gone to the two sides. No one's here in the center. Y'all are scared to sit in the center, right? We're very excited to have everyone with us this morning. I pray that everyone enjoyed their time this morning in small group study. And if you weren't able to join us for a small group study, I would highly encourage you to make some time for that. We wrapped up our quarter today, and so starting next Sunday, we'll be discussing a whole new quarter, so new books, and you could, if you show up next week, you'll be right on time to get a new book and to continue to gather with some like-minded believers to grow in the Lord. The focus next quarter is going to be on the Holy Spirit, so I think that will be very God-honoring to grow in that. If you've got a bulletin there, crack it open. Let's take a look at a couple things here together. I know you can read, but I want to point a couple things out. The first one, and this is something that we're a little bit behind on, but we're going to do the best we can to get this fixed. Church Council will meet today at 5 o'clock out in the fellowship hall. And if you're not sure whether or not you're on the church council, then just show up and we'll figure it out if you're on there or not, right? But the church council will be meeting at 5 o'clock out there. We've got some work to do. We want to get that done. Also, you'll see, after Steve had reminded me for 3 weeks in a row, I finally remembered to do it. In the bulletin, you see there VBS. Those are the dates for VBS. One of the things that I was sharing with this someone, maybe Wednesday night, I shared it with the whole the prayer group. I don't remember who. But that sign-up sheet went out there, and like you all were knocking each other down to get out there to sign up for things. And so that thing is really full. And so what's one of the things, and it's just one of the many things that I think we do a very good job here at Dallasburg Baptist Church, but VBS is very important to us. And so thank you all for signing up out there. Mandy had pointed out that there are two categories that still need people to sign up. One of those is Imagination Station, right? That's crafts. So if you are a crafty person or you can follow instructions very well, you can help in that. And we need two people in the Kid Vid Cinema. That's probably the easiest thing you can do in VBS. You just turn a movie on and you talk about it when it's over. But those are two things that we definitely still need filled. But take a look out there at the sign-up sheet. There's also a sign-up sheet for some shirts out there if you'd like to get a shirt for VBS. That's out there as well. But coming very soon, VBS, mark your calendars. All right. Something else that I wanted to remind you of is this Saturday at beginning at 1 o'clock, we'll have a memorial service for Alice Forsey. So we encourage you to be here with us for that. And then also that Sunday night, June 5th, we'll be having a graduation celebration for our two senior graduates, Alexandria Perry and Hagen New. Join with us that night. And you'll see this, we've kind of changed that a little bit in the bulletins. At first, it was just a meat's going to be provided, but we're also going to have the dessert. So you can just bring some sides. I'm sure it's going to be something good. All right. And then at the very bottom of the list there, you'll see a lot of different dates of things that we have coming up. I encourage you to take a look at that, mark your calendars up, get those things down. You know, one of the things that we do here at Dallasburg is we want to offer many, many opportunities to be in service to the Lord, but to also serve his people. And so we have the opportunities there. So take a look at that, mark those calendars. All right, and then I'm going to pray for us here in a second, but I want to take a time right now is that tomorrow is Memorial Day, and so I wanted to take a second to just kind of pause here and to have a time of prayer specifically for Memorial Day. You know, Memorial Day is a confusing holiday for many Americans because we have slowly but surely drifted away what the purpose of Memorial Day is. And so the true intended purpose of Memorial Day is to honor those men and women that have given their lives in service of their country, right? And it's morphed into other things, and a lot of you probably visited graves of your loved ones this week, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you'll go tomorrow and you'll do that. But the intended purpose was to celebrate the men and women that had given their life in service to our country. And so what I want to do now is I just want to give us a minute or two, and I'm not timing it, is just silence. I just want you to think and reflect upon the freedoms that you have in this country because of what those men and women accomplished on your behalf. Don't sell that short and just don't think because, well, man, this is America and we don't have to worry about those things. The reason America is America, and we could have a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons America is because of what those men and women did when they gave the ultimate sacrifice. So let's have a moment or two of silence, and then I'll pray for us, all right? Let's go. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this time that you've given us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this upcoming time we have, Lord. We thank you for the discussions that we've already had this morning about your son Christ and his returning. We're so thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful as we took a look at the bulletin and we see the many areas of service that present themselves here. Lord, we're so thankful for all of those opportunities. Lord, as we are on the eve of Memorial Day, Lord, we gather here right now, and as we offer up a time of silence and reflection upon those men and women, Lord, who gave the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, we thank you for calling them to service to this country. We're thankful for the freedoms that exist today because of their sacrifices. Lord, but most importantly, we're thankful for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished on the cross, not just for our behalf here in America, but for the behalf of the entire world. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, as we enter into our time of service where we lift up songs of praise to you, Lord, we're praying that we can set aside the distractions of the world and we can fully focus on you and give you the praise and honor that you are worthy of. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord. 4, 1 through 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. Let's pray. Lord, you are magnificent. You are worthy of our worship and praise. And Lord, I pray that as we come to you today into your house, Lord, that our minds and our hearts will be open to all the things that we do, whether it be singing or praying or hearing your word spoken from this pulpit. Lord, help us to gather all that in and to take it with us each day as we go out into this world. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet. And Lord, lead us and guide us in the ways that you would have us to go. And Lord, we do thank you very much, Lord, for the sacrifices of all the men and the women that have come before us, that have allowed us this freedom that we have to come into your house. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Well, 4:3-4. He lays in the beams of his chamber on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the messengers winds. His ministers a flaming fire.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Just thank you for this time that we can come together, Lord, and give you worship, Lord. I'm so thankful for your local church here. And I just pray that the offering that we're about to receive, we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. Be with Michael as he brings our message today. And may we get rid of all the distractions on our mind and just apply what we learned today to our daily lives. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Kids will head off to children's church. Irv got all dressed up for them today. So excited. You know, hey, that's right. Very intimate time together. All right. Well, it's like Jeannie had mentioned there. And this is not uncommon. You know, we have this is the beginning of the boating season, or the beginning of the camping season, or the beginning of whatever season you're into. So it's not unheard of for the Memorial Day weekend for the scoreboard to tell us that the numbers are a little bit down. But that's okay, because you're here and I'm here, but most importantly, God is here. Right, and we're going to take a look at his message. I'm always thankful. There's a few of you who are very encouraging and will come up to me or will send me a text message or an email and let me know about the message and maybe how it made a point better, or maybe at times how it made a point not better. And we have a further conversation. I'm so thankful for that feedback. But I received some feedback last Sunday that I think you all enjoy. Is I got a text message from Raphael, and he sent me the picture of baby Ben. That's baby Ben. You guys will be meeting him soon. And he says, thanks a lot. You put him to sleep for us, right? So I think that was encouraging, or meant to be encouraging. I don't know. But we got to go and meet Ben, and Raphael and Ruby are doing well. They're very thankful for your prayers, and they will be back with us very soon. But hopefully I don't put everyone to sleep today. It happens. But today, we want to pick up, and really this is a weird spot to pick up. Most messages that you've ever heard on 1 Peter, when you came to verses 13 through 16, you probably heard the entire sermon of verses 13 through 16. And I understand why that is, because it's a weird place to break, and where we're just looking at 15 and 16 today. But I wanted to give us the full time today to discuss and to meditate and to think on the fact of what God's character, his most important characteristic is his holiness, what that means for us, and what our biblical response is to that holiness, right? And so even though we're going to drill in specifically on verses 15 and 16, I'm going to read 13 through 16 for us, because without 13 through 14, 15 and 16, you're kind of like, what are we talking about, right? So let's take a look at this. God's word says this. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for actions, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed by the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Dear God, we're thankful again for today, Lord. We're so thankful for the time that you have for us this morning, Lord. I'm thankful for the time of worship we had, as Lucy and Crystal both used their God-given talents to glorify you and to also bring us into a state of mind of focus upon you, Lord. We're so thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for your word as you have recorded for us, your word for us to grow, for us to understand, to us to be conformed more into the image of your Son through your word. So we're so thankful for that, Lord. As we continue today to discuss what it means for you, for the fact that you are holy and how we are called to be holy because you are holy, Lord, we're just we're thankful for this challenge, for this goal that you've given us, Lord, but we don't want to become too intimidated by it. We have to understand we do have the Holy Spirit that helps us with this, and Lord, we do have your word, so we're so thankful for that. Lord, we just pray that everything we do today is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as I was reading that scripture for you, the emphasis on but was my emphasis. When you read scripture, that's but's not in bold there, but we see a very hard change, right? For verses 1 through 12, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has basically been telling us that we should continue to be positive, we should continue to be a joyful people because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. But at verse 13, we make a hard right, and basically for the rest of the book of 1 Peter, right, we talk about where Peter is telling us how we should respond in our lives because of whom God is. And so today marks a very important part in 1 Peter. And so for us to really get into and to understand the importance of this, we have to, before we even get into anything else, we have to discuss what holy means. Right? The Greek word for holy, hagios, right? It's an interesting word because most places you'll see this word translated as holy when it's an adjective, right? Because it's referring to who God is, right? I already told you God's most important characteristic is the fact he is holy. We'll discuss that a bunch here in a second. But also this word, hagios, when translated as a verb, it can also be translated as sanctified. And so a lot of times when you see this word, the word holy and sanctified are very similar words, right? And what we'll spend a lot more time talking about this. Today is a difficult set of scripture because we'll see today the vast chasm that exists between God's holiness and what we've been called to do, right? As we've been called to sanctify ourselves, as we've been called to grow in that holiness, we'll understand how vast the chasm is, right? And so before we can go any further, we need to discuss, right, what holy means, right? And so what holy means is set apart, a divine, sinless, for lack of a better word, a lot of places translate holy as just equal being synonymous to God, right? Only God is perfectly holy, right? I was reading some commentary, and I'd never seen this before, but it says he is the uncreated creator. And I'd never really thought about it. I understand that concept and I know that concept, but I really enjoyed thinking and meditating on that this week, is that God has always existed. God does everything perfectly, right? We assign the big three to him, right? And we'll talk about that just for a second here. Is the first one is God is omnipotent, right? It's a fancy $2 word that just means God is all powerful. Right? God can do anything God wants to do that he seems as righteous, right? God is omniscient, right? Which means what? He is all-knowing. I shared with you last week, I can clearly remember in my sanctification process when I fully came to understand, as much as my small brain will allow me to, understand that nothing is hidden from God. He knows all. He sees all. Right? And then the one that I think, this is just my opinion, your mileage can completely vary in this, of the three big ones, the hardest one for me to get my head around is God is omnipresent. Right? To God, there is no past, present, or future. It simply is time, and he exists equally in all of those at the same time. So God is equally present in the Old Testament as he is equally present with you and I right now. And he is equally present into the future, however long that is, right? You spend a whole 6 weeks talking about eschatology. You guys are experts on the discussion of end times at this point, right? He's equally there as well. And he knows right now when Jesus returns. We do not know that. And so we continue to talk about and we continue to gain a deeper understanding of whom God is. But one of the things that is difficult for us to understand is that I'm not sure we are ever capable of fully appreciating the holiness of God. Right? We see this in Scripture, right? When Moses would spend time with God, what would happen to Moses? His face would become shining, and Moses would have to wear a veil. And I can remember as a kid reading this, I'm like, man, a guy wearing a veil, that ain't right. That ain't what we're supposed to do. But we see that the magnificence and the glory of God was so bright, it would then reflect off Moses' face, and then he would have to wear a veil to hide himself because other people could not look upon him. And Moses was simply getting a little dose of the holiness of God. I was doing some more research, and we talk about holiness and God's glory, and quite often the word glory is translated for us, it means heavy and it's weighty and it has substance. That's what God's holiness and glory is. Now, what's interesting for us in that is there's part of you, when we share this and we sang some songs this morning that were right in line with this, is you feel a drawing, or I pray you do, you feel a drawing towards that holiness. You're like, I'm interested in that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be closer to that. But then there's another side of you that you feel this as well. You feel a desire to run away from it, right? And that desire to run away from it comes from the fact you understand how different you are from God. And it doesn't take a large mental jump to understand the amazingness of the fact that you have been adopted into the family of God, right? It was nothing you did. Right? You are, and everyone's like, oh, here we go again. We're going to get kicked in the teeth. Yeah, here we go. You are a miserable wretch compared to God's holiness. I don't have my arms, this is as long as they go. Like maybe somebody could flex me a little bit more, but I'm about as flexible as a 2x4, right? There's no way for me to explain to you the chasm and the difference between God and you. I'm not convinced words exist for you to get the full understanding of how good and perfect God is and how bad and messed up you were. And I would also say you still continue to struggle with being. But that's the amazingness of the gospel, right? Right? You understand this chasm that exists between you and God. There is only one thing that could fill that, right? And that's Jesus Christ. And that's your relationship with him. As he went to the cross, as he was the propitiation of what we had earned, our own sin, as he goes to the cross as that payment, we now can be seen as righteous, right? We can go down this path, and I love to discuss this. This is one of my favorite things to discuss, is it's the point of imputed righteousness. Right, that's just a fancy word for saying because of what you claim, you are seen as righteous in God's eyes. And therefore, as you are seen righteous, you can be adopted into God's family. And this should blow your mind. Right? When you think about this and you go home and whatever you're writing down in your notes right now, if you are, this should blow your mind, is that not only are you adopted into God's family, you're adopted into with equal heir rights. You're not brought into God's family as, you know, as the joke used to be, as that you're not treated like the rented mule anymore, right? You have equal rights. That should blow your mind. I mean, you're sitting here and you should be like, oh my gosh, right? And this is where your thankfulness should come from. And this is where your desire, as we sang the song, as your desire to go out and to serve and to work on Jesus, this is where it comes from your understanding of how blessed and thankful you should be to be adopted. Here's the truth, church. It's true for you. It's true for me. You don't deserve this, man. You don't deserve to be treated like this. What you have earned is an eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But because God cares so much for you and he wants to have an intimate relationship with you, Christ came for you, right? Now we ask that question, did Christ come for all? Absolutely. But don't lose sight that Christ also came for you. And through that personal relationship with Christ, we too can have that Christ perfect righteousness imputed upon us. If you're interested and you want to read some more about that, the first case of that is Abraham, where Abraham is seen and he says, I now deem you righteous, right? Because of his faith. That's the first case of imputed righteousness in Scripture. We too are like Abraham. Because of our faith, we receive righteousness onto us that is truly Christ, but it's given to us through our faith. Let me give you some scripture here, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin, Jesus, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us, read election there, for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. It's an amazing thing, man, and I really wish, and I've thought about this, and I would type something, and I would read it. I'd be like, oh, that's not good enough, and I would type something else, and I would read it. And here's the truth. This is the reality that I came to. I just do not, and I don't think the words exist for you to truly understand this. This is something you have to experience. You have to experience what God has done for you. You have to experience the perfectness and the holiness of God. And through that, you will begin to understand how amazing it is what Christ accomplished for your behalf. And if you will enter into a right relationship, you too can spend eternity understanding how holy and growing in your understanding of how holy and perfect God is. Now, that's not an excuse for us not to further study or further read Scripture, right? And that's what we'll get into today, is that the first thing I want you to understand, when, well, we've already discussed it, is that just truly what it means for God to be holy, or as best as you can, right? But then we see here in our Scripture today, right, we have that hard right turn that I read for us, but as he who called you is holy. That's talking about God, right? We talk about God reaching out and calling us to him, but he who called you is holy, right? You also be holy in all your conduct. And so it doesn't take a mental heavyweight, right? We would call a mega mind or a brainiac, to understand when we discuss God's holiness, but we read here in Scripture that we're called to be holy. How are we supposed to do that? Like, can we do that? What does this mean, right? You are not a creator. You were created, right? So you, for that point alone, and I don't know about you all, there's times that I wish I could be in more places at once. Maybe others would not wish. They're very happy I am where I am, right? But I am not omnipresent. I am here right now with you. I am not downstairs with the genie and Irvin with the kids. I am here, so I'm not omnipresent, right? I am not all-knowing. Spend about 2 seconds with me. Steve's like, I know. Michael's not all-knowing. Yes, I am not all-knowing, and I for sure am not all-powerful. My belief is this is the same for you. You aren't either. So what does this mean for us? Well, let's start off easy. The easy one is this, and you'll see this on your bulletin there. This is what we would call positionally holy. You are holy right now. And you're like, well, man, sometimes I don't feel very holy. Neither do I. But the fact is, you're positionally holy because of what we've discussed, because of the righteousness that has been imputed upon you because of a relationship with Christ. So if you're living in a right relationship right now with Jesus Christ, if today is the day the Lord decides to call you home, right? He is omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, which he does what he wants to do. And today might be your day. And if today is the day you are called home, you will be seen as righteously holy because of the relationship with Christ. So you are positionally holy. And that's the easy one. You're like, well, there's not a lot more I need to say about that, right? I can give you a verse here, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so what this means is that, and this is really getting to the gist, and if you've read any of the epistles and you've read the book of Acts, right, the second book of Luke, I like to joke and tell people, and they're like, well, that's not right. Luke only wrote, I was like, it's a joke, man. Luke did write Acts. But anyway, here's the truth, right, is that the early church really struggled with the discussion between works and faith. And so that's why so much acreage in your Scripture is dedicated to this fact, is that it's through faith and faith alone that you are saved. Now, we've already discussed, as you understand the amazing blessedness of being adopted into God's family, what emanates from that naturally, right, is our desire to serve people. And so, is works important? Absolutely. It's the effect of being saved. But your works does not save you. Your faith and faith alone saves you. And because of that faith, you can be seen as positionally holy, right? But then we make the transition, and this is where the discussion becomes a lot more interesting, is now we have to work on our progressive holiness, or what I like to call practical holiness, but theologians love the word progressive. I wish they didn't like the word progressive so much, but they love it. I would call it practically holy. And this is what you probably have spent the majority of your life in church and your understanding. This is what we call sanctification, right? As we practically begin to root out the sin in our lives, as we practically become more like Christ and less like the world. This is really what Peter is drilling into here to the individuals. And remember, these individuals are dispersed. They've lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost their friends. They've lost all their possessions. They're living in a different land, in modern-day Turkey. And he's writing this letter to them to remind them and to instruct them of how to live a life in service to Christ. And what he essentially tells us here in verses 15 and 16 is that we are to continually be walking the path of sanctification, right? And we're continue to be working towards the goal of being as Christ-like as possible. Now, can we do this perfectly? No, we cannot do this perfectly. But what we can continue to do is to chase after that goal. I want to read you something here from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. God's word says this: "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect," that's us, "but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining toward what lies ahead of me, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Church, that's us. That's what we should be doing. Every day you should be walking the path of sanctification. Every day you should be able to say, "I'm closer to God today than I was yesterday." I've shared with some of you all, every other week a bunch of pastors get together. Melissa likes to call it the Nerd Book Club. But we get together, right, we read a book, and we have discussions, and we discuss this exact topic on Tuesday. And what I had told there, and I told them, and Steve, you don't have to pull it up, but I was told them, I was like, "Man, we have a chart, and I show all the time, and I love it." And the reality is this, is that we would love if we were on a consistent linear trajectory from sinfulness to holiness, and it just went a perfect straight line, and you're like, "Steve did it anyway," right? We would love if that trended perfectly, but the reality is that is a very accurate representation of my life. I do not put that on you. My guess it is you as well, but you see that it's not always perfectly going. And so we're having this conversation, and as some of you know, I have a tendency to lean a little bit more towards the academic than the practical. That is just my nature. And someone who was sitting there who doesn't have any letters behind his name, but he's been a pastor for decades, and he says, "Hey, Michael, let me just give you a little quick Cliff Notes version." I'm like, "Okay, man, I'm about to get a lesson here." He goes, "As long as the trend is to the right and upwards, you're doing the right thing." And I was like, "He's right. He's right." This is exactly what Scripture is teaching us. We should be searching after these things. And that's what Peter is trying to impress upon the people. And this is also what is being impressed upon us today. Are you chasing after sanctification? Right? I was reading a discussion, and, you know, to become a member of a church used to be very different than what we do today. Right? You don't simply, like today, if someone wants to join the church, they usually talk with me, and I sit down and I just did this last week, maybe a 15-minute conversation with someone, and I discuss what fellowship means and what church membership means and some couple things that are expected of you as a member. So we have a quick conversation. What used to be a lot more in depth than that, like you used to have to sit down with a deacon or a pastor or slash elder, and basically you would have to go through almost like an ordination, like they would really get into, right? Personally, I think it should be more like that today. Membership is treated cheaply. That's a message for a different day. But this person was having this conversation with an elder, and he asked him, he said, "You know, do you still sin?" And it's kind of a loaded question, right? Of course we still sin, right? But a lot of new Christians think that they're like, well, man, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm good to go now, right? And then the harsh reality crashes in of their sin nature, the original sin. And the person shared with him this. He goes, at once, I used to run toward sin. But now that I've been adopted in the family of God, I run away from my sin. And that's a really big difference we're talking about, right? Some of you, I'm going to assume this is a lot of your testimonies, at some point, you were as happy as a pig in slop, just wallowing in your mud. It's one of my favorite words, waller. You don't hear it that much anymore, right? Just waller around. My grandfather used to say, you're going to waller out that screw. And I am notorious for stripping screws. I just did one the other day. Alan had to save me. I'm like, I wallered it out, and it wouldn't work. But at some point in your life, you were so joyful in it. You couldn't think of doing anything that would make you happier. And I get it, man. We're in church, and you guys are like, man, I don't want to talk about this. But it's the truth. You were there. A lot of you were chasing after that. All of you were sinful, right? Because we talk about the concept of original sin. A lot of you couldn't have been happier in it, right? Here's the radical change that we should see in our lives is we should radically shift from instead of wanting to chase after that sin, we want to run as hard as we can away from that sin. And that's what sanctification is. Are we still going to stumble? Absolutely, we are. We're going to. But the reality is we have to be fleeing it. And that's what Peter is impressing up in here, is that we want to be as holy as we possibly can because God is holy and God calls us to that, right? We spent the entire time last week talking about radical changes. And I think that was God-honoring, and I think that was right. But I read an illustration this week, and I think it was very useful. And the illustration is this, is a man and his wife, his name's Gordon McDonald, he decided to build, he bought a piece of land, a big acreage, and he was going to build like a getaway, like a vacation home. And when he got there, just crazy rocky. I don't know if you guys set a fence post in your yard, but if you set one in my yard, you're going to be fighting rocks because a gravel road used to run right through our front yard. And there's like, there's more rocks than there's dirt here, right? And so this was much akin to the property that he had bought. And the thing is right was the most beautiful spot overlooking a river. There was just rocks everywhere. And the truth is that when they started working on it, the boulders were easy to get rid of. Right? You hook a piece of machinery to it. It's very easy to see that massive rock, right? It's as big as my car. We're going to hook an excavator to it. We're going to pull that out. And so you see these radical big changes. But the hard part he talked about is that months and months later, the more they dug, the more little rocks they found. And it just became, it almost got to the point where, like, we're never going to get past this layer of rocks. And the point of that, and it spoke to me a lot, and that's why I'm sharing it with you all, is that initially you'll have a radical change, and that's an amazing thing. And be appreciative of that and enjoy that. And so massively big sins in your life that is very easy for everyone to see, you'll flee from, right? Whether that be, you know, drinking or drugs or pornography, that's a huge one today. I saw a stat the other day that 80% of men between the ages of 18 and 30 have a pornography addiction. I mean, it's come from a very credible source. So pornography, think of any of these massive sins that are very big that you see. Like, initially, those are gone. And they're easy because they're seen. But the truth is, church, it's the little things that we continue to have to struggle with. Do you struggle with gossip in your workplace, right? I've shared with you all, I have anger issues. I know this, right? I keep them hidden and I keep them very suppressed, thankful for the Holy Spirit. But at times they boil up and I continue to have to move that. It's like gravel, right? The big stuff I've handled, right? But it's that little gravel that I'm constantly screeing off. And I'm like, how much gravel is here? A bunch. Again, I can't speak for you all, but I can speak for me. And so what I want to encourage you in, and some of you are thinking like, this is, again, not a very encouraging message, but I think it is. But what I want to encourage you in is this, is that continue to fight the good fight. Continue to scrape off layer after layer after layer. Look for that sin that is not as obvious in your life. I shared with you last week, and a good friend of mine jokingly calls this a dangerous prayer. If you're sitting here right now, right, Sunday morning, we're here together, you're at home, and you're like, man, I don't think I have any of that. Pray about that. Pray to God. Ask him to reveal to you some sin that is not obvious to you. You want to go any further? Ask someone who knows you. Do you see any sin in my life that I seem oblivious to? You know, when Matthew was still here, Matthew's my brother, if you ought to know that, him and I made a pact with one another, right? Our oldest are very similar in age. Melissa can tell you the number. I don't know the number, right? How far they are apart, but they're very close. And Matthew and I made a pact. We're like, hey, if you see Lily doing something that I don't see, you need to let me know. You need to be honest with me. Because as most of you can probably attest to, your children or your grandchildren are very important kids in your life, whoever they are, nieces, nephews, whomever, you have a blind spot to them. Like, you don't want to see it in them. You just want to see the good in them. I sense it in myself, right? It's important to have an accountability partner that will help you see these blind spots in your life. So pray about that. Reach out to your Sunday school class. Reach out to someone you're close to. Ask them, is there something in my life that you've witnessed that maybe I'm missing? And I will tell you this, be prepared. Like, your natural response is probably this. Well, I don't know who you think you are telling me that. I don't know who you think you are. Remember, you ask them. And also remember, they're sharing this with you from a loving point of view. Because they care about you. The truth is this, you have this in your life. I don't know what it is. I am not, like we talked about earlier, I am not omniscient, I am not all-knowing. I do not know the sin that you struggle with that is not glaringly obvious to me, but God does. And what God is saying through Peter, and also saying to us today, is that God not only wants us to, but he commands us and expects us to continue to walk this path of sanctification, to root out these things so that we can begin to look more like Christ and less like the world. If you remember from last week and we read it this morning, we were talking about is that you have to turn your backs upon the lusts of the world. Stop chasing after the things of the world. It's very easy for me to stand up here on a Sunday morning and tell you that, right? But the reality is, you should see this. This is not Michael telling you this. This is clearly God telling you this. And I'll be the first to tell you, I am not perfect in this either. Like, I feel the draw upon the world upon me, right? I see things all the time and be like, man, that's a nice truck. Look how big and jacked up that truck is. And I don't worry about gas mileage. That's a good-looking truck. Right? That's in me not being content with the truck that I have, that God has blessed me with. I feel that as well. So I'm not trying to sit up here and beat you up and say that, you know, you guys struggle with this and I don't. I do as well. The truth is this, we all struggle with this. And we all need to continue this sanctification process. We all need to continue to root this out, right? Why? Because God is holy. He wants us to be as holy as we possibly can. So we're talking about practical holiness. We're talking about sanctification. Now, the easy one to talk about is finally, I think I put final, yeah, finally holy. If you read much Romans, right, Paul discusses this a lot. He talks about this as justification, sanctification, and glorification. It's all the same thing. We're all talking about the same thing. When I talk about finally holy, right, is this is a position that someday you will achieve. And you will achieve the position of being finally holy is when you either A, stand in front of a holy, righteous God, or B, Christ returns. As a individual who's living in right relationship with Christ, you too, one day, will be seen as finally holy. And then you will be able to spend eternity in the presence of God, where your daily understanding and your depth of knowledge of God's holiness will continue for eternity. There's something that I wanted to say, and I was reading a book. There's a book that I'm reading that's talking about misconceptions that Christians have. And I've said this one. I was like, I definitely need to say this, and hopefully everyone understands this, is that when you are seen as finally holy, right, when you are glorified, you do not become an angel, right? And a lot of people, and I was reading this book, and it says a lot of people believe that. It's like, no, that is not accurate. You do not become an angel. Angels are different beings that were created by God that serve a different purpose, right? They are heralds or messengers. But what you will do is you will someday set in eternity in the presence of a holy, righteous God for eternity, living in eternal, right, understanding of God's holiness. Right, as we shared this morning, and you know, hopefully we scratched the surface and we gained a little deeper understanding, but to truly understand God's holiness, I think it's beyond us right now. It's beyond us to understand. It's a thing that you've never witnessed. You've never experienced it. You all have heard me say this before. As sinful beings, we don't understand how sinful we are. There's a pretty famous sermon. I've listened to it multiple times, and it's titled, "Fish Don't Know They're Wet." Right? They don't understand what wetness is because they've never experienced anything but wetness. And we are the same way, right? We are sinful. We've never experienced what it feels like to not be sinful. And because we don't have that understanding, it is very difficult for us to fully and completely appreciate what holy means. Like, we can define it loosely, we can talk about it, but to fully understand it is an amazing thing. And we've been called to chase after that. So we've been given a difficult task. I don't stand up here on a Sunday morning and act like this is easy, and you guys be like, "Hey, man, go out there and rock this out. You're going to find this super easy." This is very difficult, right? This is why, as Christians, you are going to have to be intentional in chasing after this. You're going to have to be aware on what type of media you consume. You're going to have to be aware of what type of music you listen to. You're going to need to be aware of what type of books you read. People still read books, right? I read books. I'm assuming you guys read books, right? You're going to be, and this is one that's hard, and we've got a few youth that are congregated over here. We've got some back in the back. You need to be intentional of the friends you have. And now when I share that, everyone's like, "Yes, tell that to the youth. They need to hear that." Parents and adults, you need to hear that too. That's for you as well. You need to be aware of who you're spending time with and what they're speaking into your life. Now, should you be thankful for opportunities to evangelize and share the gospel? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying that. But you need to be intentional of who you're hanging out with. You need to be intentional of what type of conversations you're having. It's a simple question. The conversation you're having, is it God-honoring or is it not? It's really simple. And I've been involved, unfortunately, in a lot of God-unhonoring conversations. And it's something I'm working on. I pray you're working on it too. That's what we're being called to here. Radical changes, right? One of the things in your life, and no matter how tough you are or how hardcore you want to act this morning, and that applies to men and women. Usually we apply that to men, but women are just as bad about it. They just hide it better. Is that you're like, "Oh man, don't bother me. Don't bother me if I don't get invited. It doesn't bother me if I'm not part of this. It doesn't bother me if no one tells me anything." I understand, man. It does bother you, right? The last thing you want to do as a human is to be ostracized. But what God is telling us through different writers in Scripture is the exact opposite, is that you should look different. When people look at Jamie, they should know that Jamie, well, they have a conversation, looking sometimes hard, but they should have a conversation, they should know that Jamie is a child of God and not a child of, like it says, of wrath. What Ephesians tells us, I believe that's Ephesians, right? Do you stand out? Do you look different? You've heard me share this before. One of the worst things someone can say to you as a Christian is, "Man, I didn't know you were a Christian." You share something about Christ or you speak some truth into someone's life, you're like, "Huh, I didn't know you were a Christian." That's a real problem. We should stand out. We should be different. We should be chasing after a holy, perfect God that has existed forever and for some reason cares enough for us that he himself came to earth in the form of Christ to go to the cross, to be the payment for our sin, for us to then be seen as righteous and adopted into his family. Don't lose sight of that, church. It's an amazing thing. It's enough for you to go out into a dark world and share that truth. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your scripture, Lord. We're thankful for this discussion we have today on the concept of your holiness. For us to get an understanding of that as best as we possibly can with our limited experience and understanding of that, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that gives us strength and guidance, that causes us to have a desire to chase after your holiness, to flee from sin, to conform our speech, our actions, our life more into the image of your Son Christ and less like the world. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we understand that you've given us a difficult task, but Lord, anything worth doing in life is hard. And so we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, and we're also thankful for your word that tells us of what we're called to. So, Lord, we love you, and we thank you. And, Lord, we just pray that as we leave here today, as we go out into a dark world, that we are a good representative of your holiness as best as we possibly can be, as we do the best we can to point others towards you and what you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Lucy and Crystal. I'm reminded that song. Now, I'm not a singer, and so that song is a little bit more difficult for someone like me, right, who can't read music. Last Wednesday, we went and we brought a message to the nursing home, and Molly and I were singing Acapulco by ourselves, right? And I noticed one guy reach up, and I'm pretty sure he like turned his hearing aid down. He's like, I don't want to hear any more of this. I was like, hey, but you guys sounded great. You guys did really good, so I'm so thankful for y'all, even with smaller numbers. I wanted to leave you with a word of encouragement. I got two things for you, and then I'll pray.